space cathedral hell, all wrapped in bones of setting sun, all dust and stone and moribund. I paid 25 cents to light a little white candle for a New Year's Day. I sat and watched it burn away, then turned and weaved through slow decay. We were both a little hungry, so we went to get a hot dog down the High Street Pier. The light was slight and disappeared. The air, it stunk of fish and beer. We heard a Superman trumpet play the national anthem. And the world may be long for you, but it'll never be long to you. But on a motorbike, when all the city lights blind,
so I guess I'll start out with tell us about Estrus Comics.
Okay, I've been doing Estrus since about 1997 or 1998. I'm self-published, and it was before it was just a bunch of random stories that I'd put in anthologies and stuff, and some of them I wouldn't, but just random. There's no like central storyline or anything. And these last two issues, I've actually started, they're kind of, I'm building up to a graphic novel. of basically a bunch of stories about my love life.
Warts and all.
Sorry?
Warts and all.
Work?
Warts and all. All the, you know, all the fun stuff and the unfortunate times. I'm going to blame it on this mic.
Sorry.
Yeah, wait.
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is really crappy, Mike. I'm trying my best. Sorry, people listening. I was trying to flick a button and it made things stop working. So, what was the idea behind focusing on your personal romantic history?
Well, I've always felt I had a lot of good stories. And I think on some level, when I mean, the book that I'm working on is actually going to be stories from when I, like, from when I was a kid to only to about age 21. Just so mostly the formative stuff. And even at the time when I was in high school, I remember thinking, oh, you know, I really have to write about this someday. So I actually kept pretty good notes.
Just a journal or illustrated journal?
Journal.
Journal.
Yeah.
Now, I guess it is autobiocomics. How do you decide what part of it to include and what not? Or do you kind of go and just do as much as you can in the format of the story?
Well, that's kind of the hard part. I've actually been working on this for the last 5 or 6 years, and I spent like 3 years just writing out the stories. And at the time, I had a writer's group that I went to, and I would try out the stories on people and see, you know, what was interesting to them and what wasn't. Because it's really hard to see what just what's extraneous, what's interesting to me that might not be interesting to other people and vice versa. But that was a lot of trial and error.
With number four, it does seem like you're kind of more trying out the chops of whether or not where you're going with it than with Estrus number five, the most recent, which I found a lot more enjoyment in number five, where it seemed like you're kind of more thorough about what you're trying with it. Does that sound right?
I hope I'm getting better. Although the stories are all already written out, so at this point I'm just kind of illustrating them all.
Do you have any, you know, here's the obvious question with people who know about comics. Do you ever have concerns of past lovers being unhappy with their portrayal?
As a matter of fact, that has happened. You know, I'm actually surprised at the ones who are and the ones who aren't. I mean, I've tried, you know, I try to disguise the ones that are more embarrassing enough so that, you know, there's no public humiliation or anything like that. But I'm amazed at how people are able to pick themselves out of the batch sometimes, and other times how something that seems perfectly innocent, an innocent story, will be taken in a bad way from someone. And vice versa, how someone who I think has a kind of embarrassing story will be like, hey, great, yay, you wrote about me.
Now,
it's just hard to say. It's all ego, you know?
Yeah. Have you gotten feedback from people, like, just kind of going, you know, I've been through something similar and getting something out of that work?
Yeah, all the time, actually. That's great. That's why I do it.
Just that kind of cathartic release, yeah. And mutual interest of stuff. What kind of stuff influenced you for this work?
Originally, well, the very first comic that I fell in love with was Scott Russo's Jizz, and I don't know if you're familiar with that. It was early 90s Fantagraphics, and it was just sort of a zine where he'd write letters to the mayor of New York and you know, publish the responses, and he had little autobiographical stories about his childhood, stuff like that. And I was just so blown away by how much freedom of expression that he clearly had to make this, and that's what got me interested in comics. Probably the comic that made me really want to make my own would be Mary Fleener's Slutburger.
Fantastic.
Oh, I love her.
She's the nicest person in the world.
Oh.
One thing that kind of I find interesting is the stuff about your childhood. How easy is it to remember that kind of stuff, and how much do you think, like, you're kind of like, how accurate do you think you're getting it?
Well, the memories are pretty, I mean, I wouldn't say the memories feel pretty solid.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that I wrote out that I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely how it happened. And after I made the comic, I was looking up something else in my old journals from high school, and I realized, oh, it was slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough that the story would have changed, but maybe different people were there than what I remember. I mean, you're constantly reinventing your memories, they say, so it's probably 100% inaccurate.
Are those parts of your childhood that you find, like, stick out and the reason you kind of want to use those stories?
I think so. Well, and once I decided, got it in my head that I was going to write about my romantic life, I mean, suddenly I started searching my brain and my journals and, you know, my friends' memories and stuff like that for these stories. Originally, when I was still formulating this idea, I hadn't really focused on the love life thing. I was thinking, oh, well, you know, just a straight memoir, but I was trying to figure out, well, what's interesting and what makes a good story, and ultimately I was like, well, the dating stuff, pretty interesting.
One thing that strikes out to me is that as much as it's about dating and relationships with boys and stuff, is that it's also about the kind of the competitive relationship with your friends too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought really carefully about how I was going to portray my friends in this, since I think a lot of it, I like it. To be, I mean, they're definitely supporting characters.
You want to be careful to not make everyone seem jealous and jaded. And
no, I want to. I want it to be as accurate as possible. I think childhood friendships are so important, and they're so bizarre. I mean, they're so different compared to my friendships now. There's all sorts of. I mean, I don't know. Maybe everyone has a different set of types of friends, but the friends that I have now, I don't feel competitive with. I'm, you know, we're here to support each other, blah blah blah. But when you're a preteen, for example, there's a lot of tug and pull. Like, you know, you're trying to figure yourself out and where you stand in the world, and that certainly goes beyond yourself to your social circle, and it can get kind of weird.
Now, I'm going to ask some questions about some other art of yours, because on your website you have looks like you put a lot of work into, I guess, paint as well. One thing that really interests me is your, sumo clowns.
Tell
me about that.
Sorry?
Talk a little bit about your sumo clown work.
Well, just one day I got this thought in my head of, I can't really tell you where these things come from, but it seemed really funny, the idea of sumo wrestlers as clowns, and I love sumo wrestlers, and I absolutely hate clowns. Just like putting those two together, and that they would be vomiting multicolored balloons. I don't know, it just seemed kind of funny. And in some ways, I think it reflects, like, my mix of races, and I don't know.
That's something I was curious about, because you're half Japanese, I guess the other half being white,
yeah,
presumptuously. Is that kind of like one way of, like, kind of exploring that cross-cultural identity, or am I just reading too much into things?
I think I've said that to someone at an art show before, and I think I was kind of joking and kind of not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's something interesting about the sumo and the clown, is that they're both forms of, I guess, entertainment, you know, in different cultures and stuff.
Well, my pretentious answer for is what is it? I have to get this right. it's a symbol of the westernization of Japan. It's true, though. Every time I go back there, it's the analogy of the vomiting clown. It seems very true to me, in that there's just they've taken our consumerism and taken it to this whole vomitous level.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a lot of fun.
How much is Japanese culture a part of you?
I've probably visited about a dozen times. My parents live there.
Oh, wow.
They moved there. They're both American citizens. But my whole mom's half of the family lives there, so kind of, it's a part of me, but I'm not a part of it. I can't speak the language or anything. It's still very alien to me, but I probably know more about it than the average white Joe.
Like me. Now, comics are only just a fraction of your work, looking at your website. Like, you have a whole whack of different types of stuff. What other kind of art forms do you explore, other than just the clowns and sumos?
Well, the watercolor clowns are pretty recent. That was just last year. I've been working with collage for a couple of years. I've gotten really into that, but I think I'm actually kind of done with it. acrylic paints. I've never tried oils, but
apparently they can be a lot of fun, but really pricey.
The times that I've actually given it a go, I just got so frustrated. They don't dry fast enough for me. I'm very impatient, which is why comics are so great, because they're so instant gratification.
It's that immediate release.
Yeah.
And is that part of the reason for doing, because you say you're working on the graphic novels, why you do the comics? It's just so you can kind of get it out there and be able to see that product?
I think the comics, for me, I mean, they're very different from the fine art stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In that comics are so, I mean, the fine art's definitely pretty cathartic, but it's more esoteric, and I don't know. The comics are just, it's like straight therapy for me, because it's autobiographical. I'm not really interested in doing non-autobiographical comics. I'm just exploring parts of myself, and I don't really have to muddle with different, I'm not really testing things out, mm-hmm. like I am with the other art forms. And I mean, maybe I should more, and maybe I will in the future, but I don't know. That as far as art forms go, that's the one thing I do purely for myself. It's purely fun. And actually, on that panel I was talking about the other day, they had a question, and I never actually got to answer it, but they were saying, you know, who makes a living off of their comics here? And I think maybe one or two of the panelists raised their hands. And it occurred to me, and I'd kind of thought about it before, but I hope I never, ever, ever intend to make a living off of comics, and I hope never to, because I feel like as soon as I do, that'll just kill it for me.
It kind of takes away from the enjoyment of it. And
well, yeah, I mean, another thing I moonlight at is I write dialogue for video games. And I used to be quite the gamer until I got into the industry, and now, I mean, I haven't played a game for fun since the 90s.
Since the Nintendo 64?
No, before then.
Oh.
Actually.
That's a lot of video games you're missing out on.
Well, I've played them. Don't get me wrong, but
just not in the same aspect.
Enjoyment. It feels like work to me now.
And is that your prominent, your most pronounced income drawer?
It comes sometimes. I'm freelance everything, so you know. Sometimes I'll make more at the art stuff, and sometimes more video game stuff. Sometimes I do copywriting for ad agencies. I mean, I'm kind of, I don't believe in a day job, so.
Many hats to be worn.
Yeah.
Now,
exciting that way.
Yeah. I do 5 million things at once, and sometimes exciting, and sometimes you.
Yeah, the ad writing isn't very fun, but.
No. Now, the work that does interest me the most, just looking through it, that it seems like it's just so full of, I don't know, just this, like the life and vigor. It's definitely, I find a lot of interest in the collage work.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you looking through or looking for when you're working on the collage? Is it just, do you have a set thing in mind when you start the piece, or is it just you find stuff and just kind of meld together?
I usually have an idea of what I want when I start out, but a lot of it just, it's like putting together a puzzle. I mean, it is putting together a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it totally depends on the piece, but yeah, I usually have a pretty good idea. I'll sketch out an idea, and then I'll just search and search and search for the right elements for it. And a lot of times the piece will metamorphosize while I'm doing that into something else, but it usually turns out to be approximately what I had in mind to begin with.
Just kind of moving into a completely different other area.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can't find the materials that you need. I did this one collage painting thing that I decided I was going through a vegan phase at the time, and I thought, oh, I'll make the entire background meat, just pure meat. So I was looking for pictures of meat, and it was a really big piece, like 2 feet by 5 foot, or no, maybe like 4.5 foot high, and so that's a lot of meat. And so I was getting all these like Safeway and you know grocery store flyers and stuff, and because at the time I didn't eat meat, like it kind of grossed me out, and here I was stuck with this task that I'd given myself of just finding all this meat and cutting it out, and so every time I found it, I would be simultaneously nauseated and excited because I have more meat from my collection, and I won't be doing that again.
Well, you'll have to find that Beatles picture where they're holding all the baby dolls with meat all over the picture too.
Oh my gosh, I'm not familiar with that.
It's a pretty fabulous image. It was on a 12-inch, and then they, I guess, a lot of people got pretty outraged by it, so they actually put a sticker over it.
Oh.
And then it got released with the thing over it, so you may find some people found, you know, copies without the sticker, or like tried to peel the sticker off, just covering like a whole new cover on it, just slap it on. So
that sounds so cool.
It's a pretty fabulous image.
Meat Babies. Which single was it, do you know?
I can't remember. It's like, it's probably a 64 or 65. I'll find out and I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll post it with the interview so people
awesome.
Can see and stuff. Now, I was emailing back and forth with Shannon O'Leary last night and asked for a question for you, and she asked about your 1978 mixtape. She told me to ask about that.
What's the question?
Where did I have it written down? About the 1978 was a very good year playlist. There we go.
Yeah.
What's on it? And why you chose what you chose.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I could find it on my iTunes. that was actually a birthday CD that I made for a fellow cartoonist. Let's see. 1978 was a good year. Starts out with "Thank You for Sending Me an Angel" by the Talking Heads. I thought that was a really good song to begin with. Begin a mixed CD with, because it's so upbeat. It's got a sweet message. Do you want me to read them off to you, or?
I don't. Well, she wants to know if you'll make another good playlist.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Well, there we go. People that
I like doing themes a lot.
Yeah. Is music a big function in your art when you're working on it?
Oh yeah. I'm kind of obsessive about music.
It's constantly playing. What kind of stuff do you listen to influences your art different ways?
I don't know that it influences my... I mean, it must influence my art in different ways. I'm just not... I just get on these kicks. Like, lately, I've just been listening to the Decemberists, like...
Non-stop.
If I'm not listening to it, it's in my head. I'm humming it to the point where it's kind of driving me nuts, and I'm kind of ready to go to something else.
I've been doing Sons and Daughters with that a lot lately.
Sons and Daughters.
The Scottish band. I think one of them used to be an Arab Strap.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's
good
stuff.
I'm actually going to Scotland in a couple weeks.
Well, enjoy. I'm jealous.
Me too, I've never been.
I'm pretty much sedentary in Vancouver, so. So when do you think you're going to have your graphic novel released? Or when are you hoping to, and will you be working with getting more comics that will doing it?
I'm sorry, a big motorcycle just passed by when you said that. What was the very last part of that?
I guess first, when do you think you'll have your book done, the graphic novel?
I'm aiming for about a year. I'm hoping to have the next issue of Estrus out by Stumptown, which may or may not happen.
Oh, are you going to be up for Stumptown?
Yeah.
I will see you there then.
Yay!
Right.
It depends. If I get a lot of paying work, then that'll, you know, push aside the non-paying stuff.
Now, the title Estrus Comics,
mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell people what the name is from?
Estrus is normally used when describing livestock. It's when the female is basically in heat.
Here we go. fabulous name. I researched it when I was first reading your stuff. So, well, thank you for coming on the show, or the non-show, this will be.
Thanks for having me.
Exclusive. And I look forward to seeing the next issue of Estrus.
Great. Thanks, Robin.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Mari Naomi. You can check out her website, marinaomi.com. I will have it linked on the website, obviously, and this can be played online exclusively. CITR is the station we're normally broadcast out of. Inkstuds is the show. And, yeah. Thank you, Mari.